This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Every time we've had a Brexit conversation on this show, or quite frankly, in conversations I've heard in almost any other show, someone inevitably says, we're in uncharted territory. So if there's any truism about Brexit, I would say that is it. And the UK continues to sail into that uncharted territory. On Saturday, Parliament forced Prime Minister Boris Johnson to request a Brexit extension from the European Union. Johnson says he wants a vote on his Brexit deal as soon as possible, but that is not totally in his control, and lots is happening in Parliament right now about exactly this issue. So you can join the conversation. We want to hear from you. Have you been following Brexit for the past 3 years? Are you a British expat who might be affected by Brexit? What's your question for what might happen next in the United Kingdom? And for example, we've got a comment already on our website from someone saying, what is this? Brexit V25? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Well, joining us now from London is Rob Watson. He's the UK political correspondent for the BBC World Service. Rob, it is great to have you back. And let me just ask you right now, I think it's good to have you. Are you breathless in terms of all that's been happening in Parliament today? Like just now, the Speaker of the House of Commons made a pretty key decision.
Well, I've been fairly breathless these last 3.5 years, but actually I wasn't that breathless because A, I'm not surprised by what the Speaker has done, and B, I just don't think it's quite the bigger deal that that the British media had sort of had it set up to be, because essentially what the Speaker has done, and everyone's going to have to bear with me for a brief second here, he said, look, we're not going to repeat what we did on Saturday, which was have a vote on whether you think the sort of the principle of this deal that Mr. Johnson reached with the European Union last week. We're not going to have a vote on that because we already did that on Saturday, and Parliament came to the conclusion, guess what, not yes or no, but not yet. Okay. And so what I think the government, but the reason why I don't think it's the end of the world for the government, it doesn't mean that their deal is dead. It means what the government must now do is come along with the actual law, this big piece of legislation that would enact that deal. So in many ways, if I was to make things as simple as I possibly could in British politics, I think this is the moment we've arrived at. So Mr. Johnson did this deal with the European Union last week, and it seems to me in the next between now and the 31st of October, we'll find out whether there is actually just about a majority in Parliament to turn that deal into a law, either on the 31st of October when Britain is supposed to leave, or maybe a bit of a longer extension, or whether any parliamentary majority that exists for this deal is so fragile and so small that the rough and tumble of getting complex legislation through the British Parliament just proves too much of a challenge over the next 10 days, and that the process collapses, and that essentially then we have to go for a general election. So, long-winded way of saying, I think we're either on our way to a deal close to the 31st of October or a little bit after, or the whole process just collapses.
Okay, Rob, so I'm just going to be honest and say that I personally feel a lot of confusion about where the UK is right now, and I can only imagine how people...
Can I interrupt you briefly? You know, I think there was a period when my wife was just incredibly busy, and she said, you know, goodness, I just need to catch up. So I'm a bit confused about the Brexit process. And I said to my wife, the thing about Brexit, if you're not confused, it means you haven't been paying attention properly.
Good. So that makes me feel better.
I said, sorry, I got that wrong. I ruined my own punchline. If you're, you know, if you've been paying attention properly, you will be confused.
Okay, right. Good. I mean, look, you're forgiven for confusing your own punchline. It seems apropos of Brexit, to be perfectly honest. But this deal, let's take a step back for a second. This deal that you're talking about that Johnson negotiated with the EU. Again, I'm going to be like, explain a Brexit to a fifth grader right now.
Right.
It was nowhere near as detailed as what a former Prime Minister Theresa May had negotiated, right? That was hundreds of pages of actual detail of what Brexit would look like, but that's not what Johnson had. Am I wrong?
No one is ever wrong in Brexit. They're just confused.
Okay.
So it's not what you said isn't quite accurate. No, I mean so essentially the agreement that Mr. Johnson reached with the European Union is 90% the same as the one agreed by Theresa May. I mean, the way in which Mr. Johnson's agreement was somewhat different is that he had tried to deal with the problem of Northern Ireland by essentially saying something which he said, by the way, he would never do, having a kind of a border internally in the UK between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And the other way in which it was different is that Mr. Johnson envisages, you know, a far more distant relationship between the UK and the European Union after Brexit. But actually, to try and sort of clear things up, because I think it's not well understood anywhere, there are two things involved in Brexit. So there's the bit which is supposed to be the easy bit, which has taken us 3.5 years. Which is the divorce. So that, you know, that deals with issues like what do you do about Northern Ireland, what do you do about all the EU nationals living here, any money we might owe the UK, the EU. And then there's the second issue, which is our future relationship, right? And essentially the first one is a legally binding treaty and the second one is aspirational.
Got it. So the legally binding treaty part being hard enough as it is. So let's forget aspiration.
Exactly. So in many ways, so when, for example, you know, the current government and Mr. Johnson, who, let's remind everyone, led the Vote Leave campaign, when he says, we must get Brexit done, in that very posh voice of his, I mean, in many ways, it's somewhat disingenuous in that, you know, yes, Britain could leave the European Union on the 31st of October, but of course, British politics would still be utterly then consumed by how we should define our future relationship with the European Union. I mean, this baby ain't going anywhere.
Okay, well, so let's listen to a little bit of what the Prime Minister had to say in Parliament on Saturday, because Boris Johnson did respond to the passage of an amendment in Parliament that delayed approval of his Brexit deal. And again, here is the Prime Minister on Saturday.
To anticipate the questions that are coming from the benches opposite, I will not negotiate a delay with the EU. And neither does the law compel me to do so. I will tell our friends and colleagues in the EU exactly what I have told everyone in the last 88 days that I've served as Prime Minister, that further delay would be bad for this country, bad for our European Union, and bad for democracy.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson on Saturday, but Rob Watson, the Prime Minister was in fact required to request an extension from the EU.
He was, and he wrote the letter, but he didn't sign it. And then he sent a second letter. He sent a second letter saying, you know, that letter that I was forced to sign, well, that's a load of old rubbish. We didn't put it quite like that. He said, I think an extension would be really bad idea. And that bit he signed, which prompted one opposition politician to suggest that Boris Johnson write a third letter saying, my name is Boris Johnson, I am 5 years old, and I have been very naughty. So we haven't entirely lost our sense of humour, Meghna.
No. I mean, the English would not be English if in the darkest of times there wasn't at least something to laugh at. But I mean, look, the 31st is 10 days away. What's going to happen, Rob?
Well, it is possible. I mean, if the government introduces the legislation which we expect them to do, essentially enacting the agreement that the UK reached with the EU last week, I mean, it's not absolutely impossible that the legislation could be passed in time and Britain leaves the European Union on the 31st. I mean, it's also possible that there may have to be a short sort of technical extension while the law was passed. And as I say, the other alternative is that between now and the end of the week or the 31st of October, things just completely collapse because MPs try and interfere, if you like, amend, whatever word you like to use, the legislation. The process collapses and there has to be a general election.
Well, let's take a quick call here. Let's go to Meredith, who's calling from Tampa, Florida. Meredith, you're on the air.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hello, Meredith.
Yeah, go ahead, Meredith.
I am currently residing in Tampa, Florida, and my husband is a British citizen living here in the States with me. And so every time this Brexit vote comes to pass, we are very mindful. You know, we have some property back in England. We also have some savings accounts back in England. We're always watching, okay, is it going to happen this time? My husband was in favor of Brexit prior to Boris Johnson. And now it seems as though Boris Johnson just wants his agenda. He's not very mindful of the people and what they want. And I remember speaking to my husband and some of his British friends, and they voted on Brexit the first go around, and they were asked, what did you really vote on? And they were like, oh, well, we couldn't really tell you. They really didn't know what they were voting on.
Yeah, it just said leave the European Union. That's all it said on the form, right? Well, Meredith, thank you.
And now,
yeah, sorry, Meredith, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Well, I was just going to turn back to Rob Watson here. Meredith, thank you for your call. Rob, I'm wondering, Meredith makes me wonder, Brexit has divided the United Kingdom, but has the view of Brexit changed? Yeah, I mean, has it changed? What does the polling say?
Nothing. Well, look, so the first thing is to say nothing has polarized the UK like Brexit since King versus Parliament in the 17th century. Not that I was around and reporting on that, but I'm reliably informed by historians. The polling suggests that that if there were a referendum held tomorrow, Remain would win, but not by a landslide. I mean, there hasn't been a fundamental shift. But I want to pick up on Meredith's point, because I think it really goes to the heart of the matter of why Britain is in such an almighty mess. I mean, undoubtedly its biggest political crisis since the Second World War. It's a combination of things. Number one, nobody should be surprised that we're in a political crisis, because if you think about it, for the last 40 years, it had been the absolute orthodoxy, the cornerstone of the foreign policy and domestic policy of both Britain's main parties, Labour and Conservative, that we were members of the EU, so it was always going to be very difficult to unscramble it. But to get specifically to what Meredith was saying, you have to understand that the referendum campaign in this country is not like a presidential election or congressional elections in the United States or normal general elections here. We have a party saying, right, this is what we would do if you voted for us. This wasn't like that. I mean, this was a campaign where the Vote Leave side basically said, let's just leave the European Union. But they weren't a government. I mean, they didn't say, if we win the referendum, you know, this is what we're going to do. It didn't work like that at all. It was just a very brief prospectus. Let's leave. Everything will be better. Well, as their campaign put it, we'll take back control of our laws, our borders, and our money. But that was about it.
Mm. This is where I give my obligatory side eye to David Cameron. But let's go to Mike, who's calling from Shaftesbury, Vermont. Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I think that it's an absolute shambles. The original referendum on whether we should be in the EU in the early 70s was quite this clear, and we should be in the EU. And this last referendum 3 years ago...
Mike, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I'm very, very sorry to interrupt, but there sounds like there's more than a little quaver on your line there from Shaftesbury, Vermont. But Rob, the point that Mike was going to get to is, you know, should there be a people's vote, a so-called people's vote on the conditions of Johnson's Brexit plan? Could that ever happen?
Well, I would say that the numbers aren't quite there in Parliament for it at this stage. I think about a majority of MPs think, you know, while Brexit, I think many of them think Brexit is a thoroughly dumb idea. They think that having another referendum might be even more divisive. But never say never, because actually one of the arguments that it seems to me that's come up in favour of a second referendum, one that their campaign could build on, is this idea that Northern Ireland is going to be treated differently than the rest of the UK. And I think politicians could make an argument that, look, yes, all sorts of silly things were said, economic promises by the Vote Leave campaign, but that perhaps something that really is a bit more egregious is changing a constitutional arrangements for one part of the UK, and that was never told to people during the referendum.
Yeah. Actually, so Rob, I'm glad you brought this up, because I can take my easy pot shots at British politicians until I'm blue in the face, but regarding Northern Ireland, there's something very serious at stake here. I mean, how do people feel in Northern Ireland about where Brexit talks are at the moment?
Well, they're very worried. I mean, people in Northern Ireland, this has been a real ongoing trauma and a crisis. I mean, a trauma in terms of the sort of really fragile peace in that corner of the world, and also kind of deep concern for business about the uncertainty. But again, I suspect it's helpful if I very briefly go back to basics on this one. When Britain voted to leave the European Union, there was always going to be a problem on the island of Ireland, because, people didn't want there to be any kind of border between the Irish Republic, which is staying in the EU, and Northern Ireland. Given the history of violence and the need for people and goods to move freely, that was all part of reaching peace there. So when Britain voted to leave the European Union, there were only really three choices. You could, yes, at the risk to peace, put back hard border there. You could have Britain stay so close to the EU economically that this issue would never arise. Or you could have a border internally in the UK, if you like, between Britain and Northern Ireland. And that's what Mr. Johnson has gone for. And that's why one community in particular in Northern Ireland, and you have to remember, Northern Ireland is contested territory between its Protestants, who most of them would like to stay part of the UK, and its Catholics, who most of them would like a united Ireland. And the Protestant Unionist community think, hang on a minute, at the last minute, we've been sold out by Mr. Johnson.
Mm. Well, Rob, in the last 20 seconds that we have here, I open this segment by saying every Brexit conversation we have, someone says we're in uncharted territory. Are we still in uncharted territory?
I think we left uncharted territory a long time ago and are now sort of sailing away in bits where no man or woman has ever mapped.
So it's the there be dragons here part of the map.
Oh, you betcha.
Well, Rob Watson, BBC World Service, UK political correspondent, speaking to us from London with the latest on Brexit. Rob, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Magna.
On Point is produced by Anna Bauman, Justine Dow, Mylena Mata, Stefano Katsonis, James Ross, Dori Scheimer, Alex Schroeder, Grace Tatter, and Adam Waller, with help from Sharif Campbell, Jeffrey Lyon, and Sydney Wertheim. Our executive producer is Karen Schiffman. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.